All right, we are back. My name is Joshua Stamper. I have the Summertime Relaxed Charlie Peck with me. And I'm wondering, how relaxed are you, Charlie?
Oh, right now I'm pretty relaxed, but my day's going to start with a bunch of clients today. So we'll see.
I know you're busy. I know you're getting some more keynotes coming here in August. So you're going to be traveling quite a bit as the back to the school year events start. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. I just love doing that work. I love it. Mm-hmm. And then I get to see clients individually, and then I get to do team training, which is great. So I'm doing the work I love, Josh. I think you are too. I know you are.
I am. Yeah. I love to travel and see great people and meet up with our educators. So yeah, booking those two myself, and yeah, I get to go back to my home state for a back to school event. So I'm super excited to head up to Minnesota too. So just got that all fixed up. So Charlie, let's jump into our question this week, which is something I don't think we've talked about on this podcast before. So this is interesting. Someone's asking, why do you think good people lie? And I think that's a pretty general statement, but that could be students or that could be adults. I think everyone is guilty of this. So what is your thought process behind the reasons why people lie?
Well, I have taught about this for years. Any of my former students will remember when we talked about how to tell when people are lying, which, by the way, is going to be our next episode, how to tell when people are lying. Separate. Why do good people lie, though? They want to see themselves as honest. They want to see themselves a certain way. So it's really about protection of the ego. Sometimes it's protection of safety. Often it is, actually. Sometimes that can be in an abusive relationship. That can be when you perceive that you're going to get in trouble, which will change the trajectory of your life or get you out of doing something that you really want to do. So there's a lot of reasons. And we all do lie, even when we think that we don't. Some things come out that way, even when we're trying not to. I remember being like a teenager and I lied a lot, and it was because of protecting my own ego. I was really insecure and I just hated it. I hated myself for it, you know, I didn't like myself. And so I made a pact with myself not to lie again. And I'm a like very honest person, like very honest, but there's once in a while I say things out, something out loud. And I'm like, why did I say it like that? That's actually not the honest truth here. Like that's not honest, not 100% honest. So we're human. So people don't usually choose between being honest or dishonest. They're really choosing between protecting their self-image or facing an uncomfortable truth. That's just one piece of it.
Yeah. I have a child right now, a teenager, that is consistently doing this. And it's really silly things too. And I saw this in the classroom all the time. Charlie, as you know, I was a middle school educator for 17 years in various roles. And that age group, they're going through some various things with the ego that you were talking about. And a lot of times it was to avoid consequences or embarrassment. Maybe there's some conflict that they didn't want to get into, so they're trying to avoid that. Looking embarrassed in front of their peers, which is a huge thing at that age range. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you have a good relationship with them and they just didn't want to disappoint you. So I think there's a lot of things that they're trying to avoid in that situation. And lying, unfortunately, is something that they turn to quickly. But the thing that, and I'm trying to teach this with my own child, is that you don't want it to be habitual. You don't want it to be a habit to have these lies coming out constantly, so that you're even lying about things that don't even need to be lied about. And I'm starting to see that here at the house.
Yeah. That protection of ego is so important that we understand, but you're right. You don't want to develop that pattern. It's just people don't trust you. They pick up on it. You don't like yourself for it. And you just, it's not the way to go through life. Honesty is the best way to deal with problems typically. Now, I will say that because I told you that there was a time when I found myself lying, and then I got really honest. I mean, super honest, almost to a fault, because people knew that and they would ask my opinion about something about them. And I'm like, don't do this to me because I don't want to lie. But then I was also in an abusive relationship. And so I started getting very honest with that person who was being abusive to me. And I was trying to do that so that I could do everything I could, like my best, to make the relationship work. And I knew I had to be honest. And when I did, it actually hurt me in many ways. I learned that there are some people, it's not that I have to lie to, it's just I will not share everything of myself with them. And I think that's okay too, because that truly was an important part of protection. And I think a lot of people do that. I think it's okay to point to do that. But really, if we need to think of it from a neuroscience perspective, then we need to understand that it is from that threat avoidance. So people lie to avoid shame and rejection. Those are horrible feelings. A lot of it comes from trauma and comes from being punished, comes from conflict. Sometimes it's a loss of status and it's hard to face that you've lost that status. This happens so frequently, not wanting to hurt someone's feelings. So typically when I catch myself in a lie, it's about that. And sometimes I have no regrets about that. Like if I'm going to say something that's going to hurt their feelings and there's no good reason to do that, then it's okay. Like I forgive myself after that. But I still try to have some honest piece of that. What do you think? I could talk for hours about lying.
Yeah, I was trying to think of my students, but then also I was trying to think about myself as a child. I can think of plenty of times I lied for approval of my peers, right? They would talk about a movie that they saw. I hadn't seen it, but I just went along with it to gain their attention and approval in that situation. Status, rewards. I can think of plenty of my times when my students were lying. You know, they're going to say they're going to the bathroom, but they're meeting up with a friend somewhere else or doing something and they're trying to gain something in that situation. So I think there's a lot of things that they're trying to do behind the scenes. And it is manipulative in the situation because they're trying to gain something immediate. I think to your point, you know, once they either get caught or some kids would just like fess up on them on their own, like right. I feel guilty, and then they would share. And then there's the shame piece that they didn't want to disappoint. And so initially, though, it was impulsive and they were just trying to gain something in that situation. So I think especially our young kids or adolescents are typically trying to do that for a reward. They're lying to get something.
That's a good way to put it. It's for a reward. It really is. Yeah. When you get a social reward where you get to feel a sense of belonging or connectedness, it is, the stakes are so high for you. Yeah. The good news is this: when you become more confident and self-assured, you can do that with some work and build capacity to do that. You don't have to lie. You don't have to lie. I always remember that movie, Pretty in Pink. There's a part where I have the image in my mind right now. She was saying, like the main character, she was saying like, I don't have to lie. And I remember hearing that and be like, oh my gosh, how powerful that is. I wish I didn't have to. And that was when I was young. And I realized I don't have to lie. I don't have to. It's just that sometimes reflexively, the human instinct is to do that in protection mode. But it's like anything else. We've got to catch ourselves in the middle of it and then correct it if it needs correcting. Sometimes you don't need correcting, but the pattern needs to be honesty. And then once in a while, if it shows up, then it's like, you got to make a judgment call around that. But yeah, it's fascinating. I don't think people have to lie. It's just that we do that reflexively to be in protection mode. And you're right. The brain can get used to lying. Mm-hmm. So we don't want that to happen. There's a lot of reasons we shouldn't have to lie.
Especially it just becomes a default response.
Yeah. There's so many problems with that.
For sure. So for our educators, for our parents, for our folks that are working with folks that may be doing this, right? You know, what is our viewpoint in that? Because we don't want to accept it. You know, we're talking about, you know, like, we don't want it to be habitual. We don't want it to be a habit for the folks that we're working with. So how should we view this as far as a problem or even an identity to the person?
Well, I always say, like, let's look beyond the lie and just ask yourself, what is this protecting? Instead of saying, why did you lie? You just lied. Because that shuts the person down. We're trying to actually connect, especially when we're in a professional role working with kids or other staff. Ask yourself, what is this protecting? And then you could even ask them, like, what are you afraid would happen if you just were totally honest with me? And I usually like to use the word totally or 100% because it gives them an out that they're not 100% lying, but they could be truthful and only, you know, it lets them know that I know there's some element of this that is not truthful, but if they were 100% truthful, what would happen? So to me, I kind of use that psychology there to give them a little bit of an out, but usually it's a fear of rejection, fear of disappointing someone. That's really tough. There's so many problems with that one. Fear of consequences, especially when they're harsh or they know it's mismatched. It's not a fair consequence that they're going to get. They've already played that out in their mind. A fear of being seen differently than what they want their character to be or who they think they look like. So there's a lot behind that.
Yeah, a lot of times too, like when you're talking about the consequences of playing out in their mind, a lot of times too, the fear that exists in their head is greater than what actually is going to happen in real life. And so sometimes, especially when I was an administrator, I would kind of lay that out as far as if this action occurred, if you did this and you're truthful and letting me know that this occurred, this is the consequences associated with it. And sometimes the kids would be like, oh. Like they were surprised that it was not as grand as they had built it up in their mind. And sometimes because of that, they would come out and explain like truly what happened. And to your point, like most times the lies that they were telling, it was just removing themselves from the situation, right? This story occurs. So there's like 90% of the truth in that story. It's just, there's like a piece that is going to incriminate them. So they change that portion of it. So I like how you're talking through like, totally honest with me, because typically they're telling a lot of the truth. It's just that they are manipulating it to take their part of the story out. So yeah, I'm looking forward to our next show where we're talking through some of the tells, because that was a lot of what I had to do as an administrator, is to talk with so many kids to figure out who's manipulating the truth and who's telling me exactly what actually happens. And there were a lot of things that over time I was able to key in on. And I know you do this every day with your clients too. So,
yeah. Well, and let's remember too, our brain lies to us a lot. And so we may not be thinking that we're lying. Mm-hmm. It's part of that narrative that we tell ourselves, that story spiral we go into that's based on big fat lies often, because our brain is negative more so than positive. And so we may be telling something that we actually believe, or we haven't thought consciously about what we're saying and how it might be conveyed. So there's a lot to it. So I am looking forward to talking next week about how to tell when someone's lying to you.
Yeah, such an important topic. I'm very surprised we haven't discussed this before, but we're going to dive into it. And right now we're going to jump into our favorite segment here, Behind the Banter. Well, I'm going to tie this question into something that you had brought up, Charlie, previously in this episode. You said Pretty in Pink, which is an 80s movie. I know we're both kind of the 80s kids growing up. And so I want to know, in the 80s, what was a movie that you just watched on repeat?
Oh, my gosh. I watched La Bamba 22 times. I swear. My sisters, that's the first movie that they would say. I loved it. And it was a period of time where I didn't have a lot to do and I was home a lot. And that's the movie we had rented. And by the way, I owed a lot of money on it because I didn't return it.
Fees, yeah.
But I watched that. I can recite every line. But there's a lot of others like Weird Science. I watched that a million.
Oh, yeah.
So many great movies. What about you?
So many great. Well, Back to the Future. That was like my go-to. Still this day, I love it. But yeah, there was a trilogy. But like the first one specifically, I remember wearing that movie out where my mom finally was like, I'm going to hide this movie from you. you can't watch it anymore. It was just kind of like on in the background constantly. So yeah, that was kind of my go-to in the 80s.
Yeah, great movies. 80s were just, it's the best time ever.
Oh, so many good things from them. Yeah. All right, Charlie, is there anything going on? I know this is a crazy time for us in the summer. But is there anything going on that you want to highlight before we have our last note on our topic today?
Yeah, I just know people are planning already for their next school year. And I do want to say, everybody, relax. Relax. If you do want to look at some strategies for behavior change and how to address behavior situations that come up in our schools and our buildings, in our classrooms, in our workplace environments, Josh and I, we do the training there for the language of behavior. So I really want people to understand the cohort model there, that we can take your group, a small group, and train them. That's what I want people to know that. And the keynotes to kick off the school year. I know a lot of people are still thinking of that. They haven't all booked. I know, because I just got one booked just this week.
Yeah, those conversations are happening. I just got a text from someone that's already starting to think through that. So yeah, I agree. Take a deep breath. It's okay. We're here for you. So if you need anything from us, of course, I'm flashing our websites, but they will be in the show notes. Also, I know, Charlie, our book is selling right now a lot. I think people are getting their budgets for the upcoming school year, and they're looking for a resource to do a book study or, you know, do a training on with us. So just wanted to mention that we have a free book study that is in the show notes also. So if you want that kit, it's easy to click on and download. And that way you have something that is compatible with the book for you to go through. That way you're not having to, you know, make up questions on your own. It kind of helps you guide. So if you need more assistance with that, please let us know. With that, Charlie, do you want to share one last final thought before we close this down?
Yeah, here's what you can say when you suspect somebody's lying to you. First of all, they may not be lying to you, but if you think they are, you can say, help me understand what made telling the truth difficult when you do catch them in a lie or when they do admit that they are. That just shuts down that shaming piece.
Sure. I love this because, you know, this is very much in line with her book, right? There's something behind the behavior. This is a behavior that's being exhibited. There's a reason for it. So let's dig a little bit deeper to find that out to help and assist. And it's not about shame or punishment. It's really about understanding. So can't wait for next week. Charlie, so good to see you. And we will be back again next week.
Okay. Bye, guys.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow. And the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.